Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is
July 19th,
2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Make it start, folks. The one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is
620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, Dan's cell phone number is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Okay, now wait a minute. You just told me before the program that everything that I own was yours. And so why didn't you just say my cell phone number is 316-619-4886?
Actually, that used to be my cell phone, and then you took it when I got a different cell phone, but mine's 316-648-4963.
Is that mine also?
And that's yours also.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, because usually I always call you.
She's giving back something strange. We better watch her today, folks. We might have, by the way, who am I talking to anyway?
Mom.
Linda. I'm talking to my wife. Anyway, okay. Moving right along, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply
prophecyhour.com.
You know, you're actually getting the hang of this. That might be a little scary. We are a national satellite program, which is simulcast live on internationally. It's on YouTube and some FM stations. So pray about sporting airtime. On another note, thank our listener base that is worldwide, places like
Perth, Washington?
Perth, Australia.
Australia.
You don't need the middle one.
Kiwi, Ukraine. San Juan, 1500, Philippines. Dublin, Ireland. Athens, Greece. And
Athens? Really? That's Athens.
Athens.
Haven't you ever heard of Athens?
I know.
Athens, Greece, and that's Kiev, Ukraine. But okay, what about the cities in the United States? Can you pronounce
good
those?
USA. Is Washington, D.C., Long Beach, California, Houston, Texas, Henderson, Nevada, and Raleigh, North Carolina. And I know Raleigh because all of my relations in North Carolina and South Carolina. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, but you're here.
Well, that's because my dad moved here and met my mom, married her, and they didn't ever move back.
Okay, well, this isn't family history hour. By the way, folks, she is going to be on with me for two programs today. So we have some things to talk about. But anyway, Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I really pray this radio program or these radio programs tonight really wake the people up, and I just pray that the right message gets out. So, Father, give everyone ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, before we get into this other, we've got something else that's really prophetic today, and I really believe this may be a prophetic milestone because, you know, as we know, Israel, you know, it went back and became a country, you know, and then they said that Jerusalem was taken in 67, but still, here is an actual declaration today law made in Israel that changed some things. So, you want to read this or you want me to?
Jewish nation state bill becomes law. Biggest prophetic development in 50 years. The new Jewish nation state basic law makes official that the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people only, as God's covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stipulates from 1948 to 2018. It was the land of both Jews and Arabs. The Israelite ancient language, Hebrew, is now the official language of the land. The biblical calendar is now the official calendar of Israel. Keeping the biblical Sabbath is now a nationwide requirement. Amen. The biblical festivals and holidays are now officially recognized by the state and must be kept nationwide. Amen. The Israeli government must work to complete ingathering the exiles, a prophetic term pertaining to the end of the age when the dispersed Israelites will return to the land. Furthermore, the law makes official Israel's connection to the diaspora. Is that how I said that?
Diaspora, right? And that's diaspora. The dispersion of the Jews, but right. The coming back.
Jerusalem is an undivided capital of Israel. Jewish settlement of the Holy Land is now a national value and will be officially encouraged by the government, further bringing Israel back on track for Yahweh's prophetic programs of the Israelites possessing the land. The state shall act in official capacity to preserve the Jewish religion around the world. The Star of David is the official flag. The Second Temple's menorah is the official state symbol. The Habitava, a poem which formalizes the Israelites' prophetic desire to return to Zion, is the official national anthem. And interestingly, it seems that the bill changes the official name of Israel from the State of Israel to just Israel.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe that is really prophetic things. You know, it will cause, if nothing else in the demonic world, it will set off a, it's going to set off a firestorm across the world, period.
Amen.
The Arabs are going to be raising up and everything. But you know what? If you talk to Arabic people in Israel and ask them, well, you want to go someplace else or whatever, they want to live not under any Arab rule. They want to live under Jewish rule because they treat them fair and everything. They treat them like equals, you know. And so they treat them better than any place else that they can think of, and that's where they want to live.
Well, again,
and they want to live under Jewish rule, not Arab rule. That's the ones that are living there should know best.
I might as well tell you to be the first one to know what the first thing on my bucket list is.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, let's move to Israel, babe.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know about bucket list, but we'll be there someday. You know, we'll be there someday. Probably in glorified bodies, you know, we'll get there on a horse.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so this happened today. So that's good information today. And so, amen. But, you know, as time goes on, you know, we are, and I believe it's just another sign of the end of the age, you know, that we're nearing the time of Yeshua's return.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeshua warned us that in this time of the end, and but always there's been false prophets, but there would be a lot of false prophets out there. And I know this is a really tough subject, but that's why I brought you on and even told you about it last night. Because, you know, I tried for a couple of days trying to figure out what to do for a radio program and who to get for a guest. I could find guests that went on past this week, but I couldn't find anything here. And I you don't know how long I screamed and prayed out to the Father to give me something yesterday, because I just wasn't getting anything. And so,
well, if you keep expanding me, I'm going to be taking your place, because it started once a month to twice a month to three times a month, and now you got me two times a day.
Well, maybe that ain't nothing. I'm going to have you on when I interview somebody and see how that goes.
See there, folks, he's trying to retire.
No, I'm not trying to retire, but maybe give her own program, you know, that might be cool, you know. Anyway, I enjoy having you on. And even people, it's funny, like at church, when we were working in the kitchen the other day together, you know, tell them a little snippet.
Well, we both want to be the boss all the time, so we're kind of funny when we work together. People always think we're arguing and fighting. When we're really not, we both have very strong, stern voice. When we want it done now. And so Mike and an elderly couple, that Mike and Pam, they come and help, and they've been coming mostly every Tuesday and Friday now. Mike's the one that redid our building signs. But anyway, Mike told me, hey.
Well, stop. Building signs. So they can go over and have a look at that new front building sign.
And the new side building sign. It's a big line on the side, which is representation of Yahweh. And the little one on the front is representation of Yeshua. So we have Yahweh and Yeshua.
She figured that out all by herself.
Oh, yeah, all by myself.
She figured that out.
Anyway, back to Mike. He told me, it was really interesting today. I really enjoyed myself. I said, why is that? He goes, well, because I really enjoyed watching you and Dan work together side by side.
Yeah. Well,
I said, why? Because you and Pam do the same thing? He said something like that.
Well, I told him, I kept warning for her. Well, you know, I was trying to help her out because she had an errand to run and she was making dinner. And I said, well, okay, she at least agreed to let me help out. So, but then I wanted to get rid of her. And I kept asking her, don't you have an errand to run or something? Because, you know, it's too hard for us to be in the same place and work together because we butt heads. You know,
we get the same end result, but we do things differently.
Yeah,
I can do things with one or two dishes, you know, and
get, don't go telling
stories. So I don't have to wash all the dishes, but he uses every dish in the kitchen.
Hey, I've been making sure the dishes were clean afterwards. But do you think people really tune into a prophecy program to listen to this?
No, we better get on with the show.
Okay, back to that. So I was talking about being in the end of the age, and like I say, this is a really tough subject because there's so much happening around it. I don't even know how, actually, in a sense, where to start with this. But back to this. So in the end of the age, you know, we see many false prophets.
Can I say something real
quick? Go ahead.
Before we start this, I want to pray for protection because last time this all came about, the devil really came hard against us. We lost a grandbaby and everything else over this. I want to pray first.
I'll just let you lead it.
Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua's name, I just ask that you would put your hedge of protection around us. We're speaking the truth about this, what's going on, Lord, and that you would allow no evil to come at us this time. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. And yes, when we did this, now, after we did this also, the ministry did change for the better. In fact, my health got better, and that's what the Father told me. If I would do it, the ministry would see a change. And we did. But, you know, I go to this as a sore subject. So that, first, I want to approach this in the right manner. One thing about this is that, well, I was led to do this the last time, and I feel confirmed in faith that we need to talk about this again. And we've hinted about this. We've talked a few times about this false prophet before, but we're going to get kind of elaborate. And also, tonight, this is actually a warning to a false prophet. And, brother, it's the same warning that I gave you many years ago. In fact, it's the same thing that kicked off and started me doing radio. In fact, I was given the money to buy shortwave for a whole year to help combat against this false prophet. But so who we're talking about, let's go on like this. We're talking about this fellow, his name is R.G. Stair. He's called the Latter-day, he calls himself the Last-Day Prophet of God. And recently, I guess it was 2002, get up here. In 2002, R.G. Stair was arrested and charged with two counts of criminal sexual assault and in the second degree. And he ended up being indicted on lesser charges. The original warrants charging the criminal conduct alleged Stair used coercion on two women, ages 18 and 20, by enforcing his religious personal beliefs on them. Well, it stopped short. I honestly believe that maybe not the news media there, but it just stinks how they was able to get this reduced. Because I remember I went there, I talked to the people, and you know he used his authority to rape these young girls. And, you know, because of their ages is really why I think that in part while they reduced it. Well, this actually happened again. And so we'll start off, with what happened again, and then we'll talk about my trip, original trip there. But so now it's back up again. And so stare again. I'm issuing you the same thing that I said the first time. Brother Stair, you need to step down and give somebody else authority. and you need to repent without making excuses of what you did and pass the authority of your place over to somebody else. This is the same warning I gave you before, and now you did it again. And now there's even video evidence online, and I just had my wife watch a little bit of it. But this is in the Christian Post, and I'm going to have my wife read a little bit of this for you. Go ahead. Start right there.
South Carolina police say that they are now investigating a video evidence that accuses controversial radio evangelistic Pastor Ralph Gordon Stair, also known as Brother R.G. Stair, and the prophet of sexually assaulting a 16-year-old girl and touching the breast of a 12-year-old girl in his church while the congregation watched.
Stop. Now, we just saw that video. He went like that,
yeah,
and lifted her breast up and played with her breast.
She's a little girl.
And he did it to, and the girl right before that, instead of lifting her breast, he stuck his head in her breast. And the whole congregation was watching and laughing. That shows that they're being,
he even said in that video, and I'm not giving all the other guys a pass to do this. This is for the minister only.
For the minister only. Yeah, it was, we just saw sexual assault.
Yeah.
Videotape. Okay, go on.
Stair, who is 84 now, who leads the Overcomer Ministry community in Walter Burl, pleaded guilty in 2004 of fondling two former female residents. Members of the community live, work, and raise their children there. New members can only move there after they accept Stair as their last day prophet, take a vow of poverty, and donate all their property and financial assets to his ministry. In one of the controversial videos currently being investigated, Stair cups and pats the breast of a 12-year-old girl as members of the church watch. How old are you, hon? Stair asks the girl in the video. When she tells him that she is just 12 years old, he replies, 12? Getting right close to it now, to indicate that she is close to the age where she could start having sex. The age, according to a man narrating the video who says he is a former member of the church, is 13.
Stop. Now, you know, living in the day, thank gosh that this time it was able to videotape and they uploaded these to the video to the internet. But it took a 13-year-old to bring this man down this time. But not for lack of trying, because we are going to go into the whole story today, and that's why we're going through two programs. But the point is a 13-year-old put the video up. Thank goodness for that, you know.
Oh, yes, and back when you went down there to do all that other stuff, and when did you say that was?
It was right after 9/11. It was 2002.
You and Mike, or wasn't it Mike, Pastor Mike and Tim, put together a book that has all kinds of evidence against him.
Right, and we'll go into that a little bit later. But okay, so back up.
Yeah. As the video continues, Stair tells the girl to come up to the front of the church after previously hugging her. Come here, I'll show you. Just look. Look here, he says. And then he makes the 12-year-old face the congregation, then places his hands between her breasts. Growing up, he says, before cupping and patting her right breast, then he sends her back to her seat and promises to stay on her case. I'm going to touch those things till nobody else can touch them, he says in the video about her breast. And in another video, a 16-year-old girl named Natasha, who claims she was being forced to attend his church, says she was sexually assaulted by Stair while working at his compound for 5 months. I'm here to talk about an incident with a man named R.G. Stair. For 5 months, I went to work at the community. The first month, he would find me in the dining hall and touch my butt a lot. The second month, he would come in and he would start lifting up my shirt and touching me sexually. And the third and fourth month, he would just repeat himself, she explained. It wasn't until the fifth month, she said, that Stair took his predatory behavior to another level. The fifth month, he asked me to go to the radio room, and I didn't want to go there. I did not, she said. He wanted to give me something, so I went. When we got inside, he gave me what he wanted to give me, and then he started fondling my breast. And he kept asking me, do you feel good? Do you feel good? And I didn't say anything because I didn't know what to do. I just didn't. And so I turned around to go out the door, and he grabbed me from behind, wrapped his arms around me, and he said, I wish I could keep you in here longer. Then he started touching and rubbing my vagina inside my pants, and after that, nothing really happened, she said. In another instance, there offers a rub down to an overweight young girl. She get fat, see? He says, as the young girl walked up to him at the church. You don't get like your sister, do you? He asked her as she replied, no. Why, you big old fat thing, big mouth, smart Ellie? He responds, ah, he continues with a sigh, until he embraces her and pats her down with his hands extending down the small of her back. She getting fat, I know, because I felt it. He tells the congregation, and he continues patting her down. You gaining weight? He soon asks. She shook her head and said no. He laughs, cups her face with both hands, and says, We're going to make it nice and slim, slim and trim. I'll give you a rub down. You shouldn't mess with a woman's breasts. Why not? I love them, he says, while making sucking sounds and smacking his lips.
We'll stop there for a minute. We'll be going to break. Now, 2002, he did this and basically got away with it. But now we're in 2018. That's over 15 years that he's been doing this. So how many other women have he did it to that haven't said anything? Because as we can see from the video, which you can go to prophecyhour.com. Folks, you can go to prophecyhour.com. We're coming up on break. Go to prophecyhour.com. Click on the pastor's page, and you'll see all the links to these various articles and to the video that we are talking about right now. And, hey, come on back. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And today we're basically giving a warning to, and this also is a warning to all those that listen to this false prophet, R.G. Stair. Everything we're saying is wrong. We've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to use two programs to, and I have my lovely Linda, my wife, on with me today talking about it. Now, anyway, we're talking about the so-called last day prophet of God, R.G. Stair, in the Overcomer Ministry. His recent charges, now mind you, I visited the community in 2002 when he did it the first time. The charges was less than, we'll get to that later when we was in it, the first part of the program. But his charges now include criminal sexual assault, or sexual conduct, kidnapping, burglary, assault, and this is according to the Colton County Sheriff's Office. Now, he's accused of assaulting a 16-year-old girl and a 12-year-old girl. And in some of the stuff that we posted, there's testimony from other ladies that over the year that, you know, where he raped them, coerced them, did the same thing and slept with them. Well, slept with them, he had sex with them, he didn't sleep. Anyway, and now R.G. Stair at one point, as reported in 2007, his broadcast was across 120 stations and attracting letters and support from people in 192 countries. And that was in 2007. This guy is the most broadcasted person on shortwave at any one time. He is historic for that. Now, and a lot of these stations, now you can even go to the stations. The stations kept him on after the first incident. And I even read an article last night that was talking about that. You know, and one of the guys at a shortwave station said that part of the shortwave people were even going to have to shut down because of the loss of revenue from this guy. Well, quit crying about the revenue. You know, there is some things. Once you knew that he was assaulting people, you become part of the problem. You still put him up and he's stealing people's money. You know, I don't go for free speech in that mannerism. They, you know, would you let him be back on your station?
No.
No, absolutely not.
And once the people, I don't understand how they can be so brainwashed, but I don't understand brainwashed. So.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
His commune sits on 130 acres of land, and it's about 2 miles from the interstate from the den of Interstate 95. Livestock roam and residents live in modest mobile homes. Modest mobile homes are junk. Hand-built houses secluded from the roam by a line of trees. Roughly 70 residents all live there with their and gave all their worldly goods and monies to the Lord, supposedly, according to the ministry's now website. Excuse me. Anyway, so R.G. Stair, that's who we're talking about. And, you know, so he, in the original one, he spent 77 days in jail after he was arrested in 2010. And he was initially charged with 2 counts of criminal sexual assault in second degree, authorities said. He was indicted on lesser charges, and they let him go. Now, the prosecutor there was Susan Mays, and I don't know who the prosecutor is now, but she would not, when she was interviewed, she would not talk at all about why the charges was reduced. So now before we get in, I think the next thing that we should talk about, because I'm going to bring this in. We've got a song here that I want to play, and you'll probably like this song. And then I'll explain the significance of this song after we play it. So, Frank, if you would, we could have that song now.
As they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart, and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls, and they don't know. The Bible says they're walking in darkness, they cannot see the road that they're on. With pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart, and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls, they don't know. To snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard dries, the field is white, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. Thank you.
So, how do you like that song?
It's one of my favorites. I love all Brother Ben songs.
Brother Ben. Brother Ben. We're talking about Brother Ben McKnight. Yeah, I play those songs on the radio occasionally when I get Frank over there to do it. Yuck, yuck. He's pretty good about it.
He don't want you playing with your music box on the radio.
Well, yeah. Actually, he would rather, he thinks that if I use a song, it's because I'm trying to gold brick out of talking and just filling up time. And there has been a couple times that I did that way back when I first started radio, but I don't do that anymore. I really like the music. So, you know, so folks, that's in time. This comes from some music that Brother Ben sent me, and he said, use it for your ministry. He had a program called 70th Week Magazine at this time, and he was on shortwave radio. And so he was one of the prophecy people that were around at when all this stuff was going on. Now, I'm going to have you read this note that Brother Ben said after I went there, but I need to, again, lay a little more groundwork. So now at the time, I'm taking you back in time, folks, to around, you know, in the late 90s, before Y2K, which, by the way, Stair is also, he is a false prophet. I also sent a link over, even if he hadn't did all this, he's a false prophet. You folks shouldn't be listening to him on radio. I had sent a link over to the pastor's page, and you can click on it, and you can go to documented proof that he's a false prophet from all the prophecies that he's given and did not come true, like the end of the world was going to happen in 2000. Absolutely. Anyway, but moving right along. So I try to get to the point of this place. At that time, there was a lot of prophecy people that, some famous book authors went there at book and other ministries because Stir had tons of money. And he still did. He is out on a $785,000 bond right now. Now, you know, he came up, they put a cash bond up, right? That's a lot of money, you know, for laying around.
Well, it wasn't cheap the first time going around either. He put up a lot of money then, too.
The first time it was only like $75,000 or something. It wasn't almost $1 million. And again, I questioned that in the first place. He should have been prosecuted fully to the extent in the first place. I believe, and this is just a guess, folks. I can't prove it, and so don't quote me. After I got out of that place, the authorities had already known about it, that he was turned into the authorities, and us and some other folks like Brother Tim and Brother Mike, that both people that came out of there that made me aware of the situation in the first place. But I'm going to get into that story in the second part of the program. But the point is, and they formed a thing called the Net Team, where ex-members and people, we were putting out a lot of stuff about him. But the point is I wrote letters to, was it SLED? That's the equivalent of like, you know, each state has their own, like Kansas, it's a KBI, and you know, everybody has their own, you know, it's like the FBI, but smaller, just statewide.
Right.
And I wrote them, I wrote the governor's office, I wrote countless people trying to get attention why this guy wasn't being arrested. And Mike and all of them were doing the same thing. The biggest thing that I think that I did was what was an encouragement thing. The people were getting ready to give up before I made the trip there, but we'll go about. So I made the trip there, and when I came out, before I went in, they all told me, they said, you're just going to be, what are you going there for? If you go there, Stair's just going to bring you, worse you like everybody else, and you're going to come out on his side. Well, that didn't happen.
He sure tried, though.
Yeah, he tried. We'll go into that in the second program. But anyway, point is so we come up to the people. So a lot of people, you know, predominant people, and I don't want to point names at people, but I'll tell you one. Michael Rood was broke at the time. And he went to R.G. Stair, and Stair told me, he said, Michael came to him begging for money. And you remember now, if you look at, there's only one time that I've ever known this man to have short hair. One time in his life since I have known Michael Rood, and I had known him from the get-go, before he ever got famous. That's another story. And I'm not down and rude. I'm just telling you what happened. What R.G. Stair told me, not confirmed by Rude, but it fits. the time Rube was broke, and he went to R.G. Stair begging for money, and because R.G. Stair said this to me to try to get me to cut my hair. Because R.G. Stair doesn't believe in long hair at all, believes you're a sissy, and he won't even let you in his congregation. But I did go in and visit his place, and I was allowed in to the church and everything. But anyway, because I got, folks, I got long hair that I wear in a ponytail or pigtail that my wife braids for me. Anyway, let's go on. So Michael Rude went, he said Michael Rude came to him asking for money, and I don't remember exactly what the project was, but he needed money really bad. And he told him, he said, if you cut your hair as a sign of obedience, he says, I will give you the money. Well, right at that time, I wondered until I went and visited, I wondered why Michael Rude all of a sudden cut his long hair off,
right,
and he went with short hair until it grew back out. Well, that's the reason, according to Stair. And it fit, because then after he cut hair, all of a sudden he had some money, and it was substantial money. And I know other offers that went to him with their hands out begging. So a lot of people, when this happened, gave him a free pass. They never said a word about him. They just stayed out of it, you know. And in fact, I got shunned by a lot of people because they, oh, you're talking about something, you know. Because to all intents and purposes, to many people, this guy was a Latter-day Prophet of God. And they also were begging money off of him. And I could point to a number of people. I said Michael Rude because, well, Michael, if you hear this and I'm wrong in it, you know, send me a letter. Tell Stair. Don't tell me. I'm just repeating the story that R.G. Stair told me, and it fits with that time frame. So if it's different, then you tell me. You tell me, what did you go there for then? What was your visit all about? Because I do know that you visited him for a while there. So, but anyway, so it's either one of two things. It's either truth or it's a lie, you know. But when I compare it to the other people who will be there and the publications of some of their things, I can pretty much say that he doled it out to a lot of people.
And your long hair was an issue with him when you went there.
Okay, so now let's talk about this song. So anyway, this thing called the Net Team was formed by followers, the people that had been in there, that came out to get people's testimony out on the internet. Well, Brother Ben McKnight, the fellow that made that song, you know, which End Time Music by Brother Ben. By the way, if y'all want a CD of it, let me know for a donation. I'll give it to you to cover the cost. Anyway. Brother Ben sent this letter over to the Net Team and us, and I'm going to have my wife read it for you. Go ahead.
Dear Brother Dan, Brother Mike, Brother Tim, and everyone else that is part of the Net Team, Friday evening, a realization dawned on me. After years of preaching against long hair and the proper attire for the brethren, after seeing the photo of Brother Dan and hearing his testimony of Yahweh wanting to use him just the way he was, and that he did not want him to change. After hearing Sister Sarah's testimony of apology to Brother Dan for misjudging him, after recalling that some...
Stop one second. Sister Stair is Stair's wife at that time.
Right.
Okay, go back. Start right here.
After recalling that somewhere I read about R.G. and his wife visiting with a well-known preacher and Sister Stair asking this friend to please talk to her husband, as I sit typing this message, I am saying Sister Stair realized that Brother Dan was Yahweh's man to give R.G. a last final warning to repent and do what is required of him by the Father. Better yet, I hope that R.G. realizes this. How many of us truly see this marvelous hand of Yahweh in this? Do you saints out there realize that R.G. has been rebuked and reproved by a man of Yahweh with the outward characteristics of a man that he, R.G. Stair, would not allow in his services? I am sure that in any other situation that R.G. Stair would have condemned Brother Dan to hell. I am extremely impressed by Brother Dan's statement. I took off my sunglasses and R.G. would not look me into the eyes, but rather looked down. And I finally, when I did manage to get him to look into my eyes, there were tears that started to well up. As the tears are the tears a sign that there is hope for R.G. or to truly repent and to do the proper thing? I surely hope so, but only Yahweh knows for sure. By his mannerism and lifestyle, he has dishonored Yahweh and blasphemed Yahweh's holy name. I do hope that Yahweh will be merciful, but I do believe that it entirely depends on R.G. Stare and how he will respond to those that are rebuking and reproving him. We all know that Yahweh is rich in mercy. It might already be too late for R.G. Stare. It could be that he has already been turned over to the devil for destruction of his flesh and that his soul might be saved in the day of judgment. Whatever the case may be, must be stopped from wrecking havoc among the brethren who truly love the Lord. Let me close by saying that he would be very wise not to fight against the man of Yahweh has sent to him. He would fare much better to accept Brother Dan's judgment sent from Yahweh to repent and then surrender his position to someone else. Yahweh bless all of you who have helped in one way or another in bringing the situation at Waterboro to a climax. Shayla, Table of Truth Ministry, Brother Ben.
Brother Ben. Okay. So now we're laying a framework. So I went there. So why did I go there? Well, I really would like to tell the story. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, what we're going to do now is we're going to take the time to, we're going to call this a break on Stare. We're going to continue this in the next program. We're going to tell you about why I went there. In fact, Stare threw me there, paid for me there. I was told by one of what I'll call his henchmen, picked me up at the airport and said, Dan, just like your name, Daniel, you came to judge the people, Yahweh's people. Well, I came to do what I was asked to do, and I was flown there to do this by R.G. Stare. So everything I did by invitation. I was told to come and honestly do it. Yahweh told me to do it, but we'll go into that. But right now, we didn't say anything about the missing church, and we need to do that. We talked first of the program, we were talking about what we fed. What did we end up making anyway? For the people.
Goulash.
Goulash, yeah. And that was made with tomatoes and macaroni and peppers.
Peppers and onions and, yeah.
Yeah, it was all kinds
garlic
of good stuff.
And all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. And so do we just feed them? I mean, do we put our effort into it, or we just make them something? I mean,
that's amazing because we do sandwiches, we'd like to do egg sandwiches, but whatever we have available, we feed them from 1 to 3, and then we stop at 3 so I can make dinner for 60, 70 people and serve at 4:30. So we only have an hour and a half to get dinner done.
Yeah, well, when I do a day, and sometimes I do days over there, but you come in and able to do that all in that short period of time. Honey, I really can't do it in that short period of time. I don't know how you do it. In fact, I told Mike, I said, I don't know. I was telling him the other day, I said, since I started doing this one day a week or whatever, I said, I do not know how she does it all. I said, I got to have help and I got to start earlier. So while somebody's making the eggs, I'm already starting to work on
Honey, I used to do the eggs, dishes, the cooking, the dinner, the everything, serving, and everything.
That was your own fault. You wouldn't let anybody else in the kitchen.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know. But anyway,
I guess the Lord breaks you for a reason so you can quit being stubborn, right?
Right. But as an example, though, now we ran out of eggs. So we started off with, I gave out some leftovers, but. So when I first come in, but then we did some eggs, and we ran out of eggs. So what did you do after that?
We did hamburger rice, we did egg sandwiches, we did homemade gravy, biscuits and gravy, and then we did the goulash, and then we did, after that, I had to make sandwiches, because I ran out of goulash, so I had to make, everything was put up, and we had late people come, we was all cleaned up, ready to go, so I did them sandwiches.
Oh, so that's where you found out that one pack of bologna wasn't any good.
Right.
Okay, but let's back that up. See, so between 1 and 3, we ran out of eggs. And folks, people over there in Wichita always ask, well, what can I get? Eggs, meat, but eggs, we go through a bunch. We ran out of eggs. And so this Wonder Woman, and don't say anything anyway, this Wonder Woman, whips up biscuits and gravy. And so everybody, man, they got egg sandwiches and biscuits and gravy, you know, and so they get fed. But that shows you something. When you had to make on the fly, had to hurry up and make biscuits and gravy because we didn't have enough eggs.
Right.
So this summer, the finances are really down.
Well, right now I need about 3,000 I have still in bills that I need to get paid that are doubled. And anyway, yeah, I need a miracle. I've been praying for one. I'm just waiting on the Lord.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, and he has always bailed us out. I mean, we are in our 19th year, and yeah, you could. So, folks, consider a donation. Pray about it. You know, we really are taking things right to the people, and the people come in. I mean, they call us. I mean, most of the time, they don't call us Sister Linda. They're even slowing down. And Pastor Dan this and Pastor Dan that. Now, it's practically everybody's going Dad and Mom.
Right.
And so, you know, that shows the relationship that we have with these people.
Yeah, and there is very much truth in the statement, the poorest of the poor taking care of the poorest of the poor. That's exactly who we are.
Yeah, amen. Because, you know, there's other things that I could, that, you know, at some point I could have done in my life that would have made more money, but the Father chose this path for us, and I'm obedient, and my wife's obedient to do it too, and so it's our ministry. I couldn't have did any of it without her. I can't do anything without her because she is my other half, literally. And husbands, if you're not treating your wife or understanding the treasure of your wife in that manner, then something's wrong, dude. It really is, because you need to treat your wife with the right mannerism. She is your greatest, the Father gave her to you as your greatest treasure, your mother half, you know. And I'm not just saying that because she's sitting here. Anyway.
No, you say it all the time.
Right, right. But it is that way. Where I'm strong in some ways that you're not, and you're strong in ways that I am not. And so, but we've always did better when we did things together.
I got a good example. When I go shopping, I take all the time in the world and get the best, the cheapest, the most for my money. You just want to be as fast as you can and run to the store and grab what you need, even if it's the most expensive, and get out of the store.
Yeah, that's a good example. And realistically, I've seen him a few times afterwards, you know, we're talking about, let's say I spend $50, but then I realized later after leaving that if I would have paid attention or whatever and took a little more time, I might have got out of the store for $20.
Yes, you know? Sir.
And so I'm admitting that today on the radio. Anyway, well, folks, make sure that you come back and listen to the other part of the program. We'll be back up at 7 o'clock or Central Time, or if you're listening to this on podcast, you know, you can, you know, just click to the right one. Make sure we're going to label them part one and part two. But there's still a lot yet to come, and I'm going to have my wife tell us about.
Just pray about supporting us, and don't, I mean, if you send a dollar will help you pay tax on something. There's no gift that's too small or too big. Just pray about it, what the Lord puts on your heart. 230 West 4th, Florence, Kansas, 66851.
Okay. Now, you can donate online, or over the phone, or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And listen, folks, if you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radio. You know, in order for us to stay on the air, we need donations to pay airtime. I am still behind from last month, and I've only paid about half of this month so far. And so, folks, we need to get out. We're in a slump because of the summer. We'll talk about it next time. But anyway, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what, Mother?
Always a blessing, be a blessing to others.
Yes, always be a blessing for the others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. And remember, we got a lot to talk about in the second part of this program. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan and Sister Linda saying goodbye
and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.